The MadTech podcast special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the MadTech podcast special. I'm Matt Broughton, research lead at Exchangeware, and today we're going to be delving into one of the biggest topics over the previous year, which is attention. Using findings from Attention in Advertising 2023, the Exchangeware research report published in association with ShareThrough, we'll detail how attention KPIs are currently being used by media buyers and how attention is set to evolve through 2024. To help us delve into attention, I'm delighted to be joined by two special guests, the first of which is Richard Ottoy, General Manager at EMEA at ShareThrough. Hello to you, Richard.
Hi, I'm Matt.
Pleasure to have you. And joining us also is Adam Morton, Chief Product Officer at UM London. Hello to you, Adam.
Hi, Matt. Nice to be here.
We'll delve into this week's questions, first of which is that two-thirds of media buyers within the UK factor in attention KPIs as part of their digital media strategies, which is weighted towards larger brands and agencies. So my first question to you, Adam, is from your experience, how does this differ across European markets?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, actually, because I think while I focus on the UK myself, I've certainly seen interest and adoption of attention planning and buying vary across markets. And I think to take a step back for a second, I think the journey to a degree has been, you know, long, mainly because I think attention is linked to one of the oldest statements in our industry, that not all impacts are equal. And because of that, for many years, across many markets, people across the industry, including myself, actually, have sought and proposed various means of providing alternative media quality metrics that appreciate the difference between the true impact each consumer has on the consumer. So things evolve, but then the likes of Lumen in the UK, Amplified Intelligence in Australia, and Adelaide in the US, they started to drive the attention agenda in their prospective markets. So it felt like these countries in particular were ahead of the game. And when I spoke to colleagues across Europe, until recently, there didn't seem to be a huge appetite for planning to attention. However, I think over the last 12 months or so, things have really accelerated across wider Europe, across the likes of France, Germany, Spain, the Nordics as well, to name but a few. And attention's becoming more prevalent. It's been tried. It's been tested. I think the conversation is again being driven by the attention providers or the agencies themselves rather than necessarily clients, which I think is in line with some of the research that you found within the UK. So while 2023, it might have been a bit of a tipping point, though God forbid calling it anything like the year of attention.
Makes sense. And Richard, to that point, in terms of how, you know, the smaller brands and the independent agencies can be using attention KPIs, how can they be brought to the table and help them use those in their digital media strategies?
Yeah, I think for smaller brands and independent agencies, you know, I would encourage them to start measuring attention across their campaigns to understand how this correlates to outcomes, right? And then start using that data when planning and optimizing their campaigns to see how they can use that data to deliver even better outcomes. As Adam just mentioned, you know, there's a number of businesses that can help them with this, like Lumen and Playground XYZ and Adelaide, etc. I would also encourage brands and agencies to start thinking about how people are now consuming media and making sure that the ad experiences meet these ever-changing consumption habits, right? People are now splitting their attention across a plethora of different channels and platforms, right, to consume content such as social sites, short and long form videos, streaming services, numerous websites, right? So it's making it harder than ever for advertisers to grab the attention of their desired audiences. So it's important that the advertising experiences are suitable for how people are consuming content across these channels.
Absolutely. We'll move into the second finding from the report, and that's that the majority of buyers within the UK market are willing to pay more for ads that attract better attention, with one third of these willing to pay a premium of 30% or higher. So my question to you, Adam, is what outcomes are buyers seeing when optimising towards attention?
I mean, first of all, I think that makes complete sense. I think it's fair to say that, you know, all buyers will be prepared to pay more for ads that can demonstrate that they are more effective. I guess the premium that they're prepared to pay will be in relation to those additional returns that they're seeing versus their specific business or campaign metric. And I think that's important. And also, I think there's channel dynamics come to play in as well in terms of, you know, what that premium might be. I think from our perspective, you know, we've certainly seen a correlation between optimizing to retention, both for upper funnel metrics such as recall, brand awareness, consideration, perception metrics, as well as, you know, lower funnel performance campaigns, looking at, you know, cost per lead or acquisitions, and both for brand and performance campaigns, we've certainly seen significant, you know, double digit improvements across them, you know, higher than, you know, the 30% that you mentioned earlier. I think the challenge around attention is sometimes the, you know, the follow-up question, how much attention is enough? And that could be sometimes, you know, difficult to answer. And I think it's akin to frequency, you know, another age old question within media, you know, and that can vary by campaign, by category, by brand, the individual consumer, obviously, that's experiencing the ad. So if a brand is looking to, you know, shift perception, you might want to seek a higher level of attention than you would for, say, a performance campaign targeting a in-market consumer where potentially a small amount of attention is required, or at least, you know, some level of attention to drive better ROAS. I think the important point is as well is just, you know, when you're optimizing to attention, this can increase, you know, CPMs, as understandably the formats, the placements that garner it are understandably, you know, more premium. But if you blindly optimize towards it, yeah, it's not going to pay back. You need to test, you need to learn, you need to optimize, you need to relate it back to your ultimate goal. You need to look at multiple variables, volume and value against your client outcomes to find that sweet spot between effectiveness and efficiency.
Always asking the age-old questions on the podcast. Richard, in terms of looking, you know, across the supply chain, what steps can publishers take to allow for attention-optimized inventory on their properties and thus reap those rewards of higher ad spend?
Yeah, I think, you know, whilst attention-based measurement and targeting is proving to be very effective for advertisers, I actually think it's really difficult for publishers. Right, over the last few years, in an effort to increase their revenue, publishers have been testing and optimizing the amount of content that they generate, and therefore growing their audiences and growing the amount of inventory that they have to sell, and balancing that with the number of ads that they run on each page. Right, and as long as those ad placements meet brands' performance criteria, such as viewability thresholds, then I think this has largely been an effective strategy for them. However, now attention metrics are being looked at. How do they reduce down or potentially reduce down the number of ads they have on each page to therefore increase the attention of those placements without it affecting revenue? So, like, by example, if a publisher has got 4 ads on a page, which is generating an eCPM of 50p per ad, if they were to reduce that down to 1 ad per page, would that single ad placement generate £2 CPM? And that's the dilemma, right? That's very difficult to know. And there's certainly risk sort of tied to that. So I think as a good first step, publishers should work with an attention vendor so they can start to measure the levels of attention that their ad placements are generating and analyzing this data to see how it correlates to revenue. I would also say that publishers don't necessarily need to have all of their ad placements generating high levels of attention, because not all brands and buyers are using attention metrics today.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm pleased you brought up the viewability piece. We'll come back to that shortly. But one finding from the report was that nearly 2/3 of the surveyed UK media buyers believe that there's currently a lack of robust industry standards for attention measurement. What steps should the industry be taking to roll out those consistent standards across markets and platforms? Adam?
For me, it's an interesting question, because obviously right now, there are, you know, different views, studies, methodologies when it comes to attention, you know, looking at the value of active attention versus passive, concurrent versus fleeting, the role of perception load comes into it, eye tracking versus placement metrics. And when it comes to attention planning, I've been using that old Churchill quote quite a bit in terms of the pursuit of perfection can be the degree of progress, because I think if you're using attention data and it's working for you, you know, it's increasing campaign effectiveness, you know, do we need to be overly concerned with standardization at this stage, especially as, you know, attention needs can vary by, you know, campaign, as we spoke about earlier. So, you know, it could go the way of viewability, for example, where many people feel the standard is too low. And if attention does go down that path, I think people will be adopting their own benchmarks anyway to, you know, be aligned to their specific campaigns. So standardization as a rule is a good thing, but, you know, I don't want to get caught up in it. I don't want it to prevent, you know, progress in this area. And what I, you know, don't want to see is, while it's obviously a competitive market with, you know, different methodologies, and you know, people might have their own agendas, it shouldn't be at the detriment of the broader conversation that we want to have. You know, there's a lot of work out there. We can combine it. Let's just make sure it's coming together for the common good.
Yeah, I would add to that, and I completely agree with Adam. I think attention is incredibly nuanced, and I think when it comes to standards, I don't even know if it's possible or even necessary. But you know, how do you define attention? Right, there's so many different signals, as Adam mentioned, that are used. Like, I just don't even know if it's possible. And Adam, you obviously touched on this a moment ago. My worry as well is, once you create standards, will brands then over-optimize their campaigns? And we've seen that in the past, right, with viewability and CTR, which, of course, we now know was to the detriment of campaign performance. So, yeah, I don't know if it's necessary.
Interesting. And in terms of that viewability piece of things, 30% of respondents said they're working with the eye tracking technology providers and 25% with panel-based survey tools. But viewability remains that leading metric for tracking engagement, not necessarily attention, but engagement at least. What more can be done to encourage marketers to employ more sophisticated measures of, you know, measuring attention alongside those traditional viewability metrics? Richard.
Yeah, I think that viewability is still important, right? You know, an ad can't be shown attention if it isn't in view. So continuing to measure viewability and setting minimum thresholds around that in terms of what you expect from the media that you're buying is important. So I don't think attention is going to replace viewability. Personally, I think that the viewability standards today probably need to be reevaluated. You know, 50% of an ad shown for a minimum of 1 second to me seems inadequate in order for an ad to be given the right level of attention. But more importantly, can somebody comprehend an ad if they're only seeing half of it for a very short period of time? You might be able to see what the brand is, but actually comprehending what that creative messaging is I would say, is probably very difficult.
Yeah, I was going to build on that in the fact that, you know, viewability and attention, they're both proxy metrics, aren't they? They're just a means to the end. We should be always looking to get, you know, take one step up, as I call it, you know, the KPI ladder, and make that correlation to broader brand or business metrics. As I said, that I mentioned earlier, because, you know, viewability, you know, is useful, but I often say I don't want attention to go the way of viewability. And that's not to deride it, but I do remember when it first became, you know, a key metric for a lot of marketers, you know, people forgot that it was a proxy metric, and there was an over optimization towards viewability, forgetting that end business goal. It's still useful, but, you know, all the time we should be looking to get, you know, closer to those business metrics. And, you know, in terms of what people can do to help marketers do that, I think, you know, there's a load of third-party research out there to help give people confidence, you know, to allow you to conduct your own experiments, to test, learn, to identify. So I think that's the key, really.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Yeah, the sophistication of those proxies needs to be improved going forwards, but I'm sure that's going to be an ongoing industry-wide conversation. We'll move forward now into looking at specific attention-based enhancements across CTV, desktop and mobile. And dynamic captions on desktop was found to be the most effective surveyed ad enhancement across display and mobile environments. So my question to you, Richard, on this one is, what makes those dynamic captionings so effective across both display and mobile environments?
Yeah, we know from we've conducted years of research at ShareThrough, right, for over 10 years, studying how people consume content and how people engage with ads and things like that. And through that research, we know that a high percentage of users have their devices on mute. Right. So therefore, if a buyer is running a video campaign, there is a high probability that the ad will be seen on mute, which makes capturing attention very difficult. We also know through a lot of that research that people now expect to see captions against video content. And this is because our behaviours and our preferences have changed over the last few years, right? If you're on a social site like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, you know, all of their video content now carries captions. And there's this growing trend where people are watching TV with audio on, same language, and they're watching that content with subtitles. And this is because we've trained our brains, right, to watching video content in this way. So dynamic captions is an incredibly effective way to improve the attention and importantly, the comprehension of video ads, because these experiences now meet user expectations.
Interesting. And how will the further development, obviously start of 2024, it would be remiss not to mention AI, but how will further development of AI tools help maximize attention and comprehension?
Yeah, I think AI will help in this area by making these kinds of experiences much better. AI will be used to not only know which creative to serve to the user, given their behaviors and their interests, but also creative messaging and ad enhancements will be much more tailored for the user, so making advertising much more effective.
Yeah, to build on that as well, I think, you know, we talked earlier about the fact that it's about finding that sweet spot between effectiveness and efficiency and making decisions at speed. And I think obviously AI can play a role there in terms of helping you understand how much attention is enough for each individual specific campaign and optimize all that faster.
Absolutely. Moving away from mobile and desktop into CTV, among scaled agencies, the sports ticker ad enhancement was significantly more effective at capturing attention compared to the control creative. What makes that sports ticker ad enhancement so appealing for the scaled agencies, and what more can be done to open these enhancements for smaller brands and agencies? Richard.
Yeah, CTV advertising is still relatively nascent, right? My understanding is that agencies have focused a lot of their efforts so far on supply, so in terms of the supply that they're accessing and curation of that supply, and then the data that's available to them, right, to inform what they should be buying. So looking at things like content signals such as channel and genre and content length, whether it's a live stream, maybe even production quality, stuff like that. Again, from the research that we've conducted into how people are now consuming content on TV, their viewing habits, this shows us that when an ad break starts, typically the user's attention is moving away from the screen, right? Probably to their mobile, because we're all dual screening these days. So as an industry, we're now starting to look at creative executions that will help bring the user's attention back to the screen when that ad break starts. So with the sports ticker, if we know that a user is interested in sports, then showing them sports fixtures or sports results as an enhancement to the CTV ad is an effective way of getting them to look at the screen, right? Bring their attention back to the screen, and that's going to help with performance. In a similar vein, other enhancements such as the weather forecast local to the user, you know, that's going to be an effective way to improve attention. Most people have some kind of interest in the weather, right? Knowing what to wear for that day or pack or whatever it might be. So if we can show content that is going to be of interest to people, then that's going to help improve attention.
Interesting. And how else can attention be leveraged alongside contextual signals such as that weather, the location and seasonal events, for example? Adam?
I think as Richard just mentioned, you know, it all goes back to, you know, relevance, getting closer to the consumer or helping them answer a specific need at that particular moment. I think, you know, harnessing contextual signals predates, you know, attention plan. And I think we at UM have used a variety of inputs such as weather location, pollen count, for example, to build highly effective and award-winning predictive-based models for brands such as Benadryl, for example. So, yeah, it's all about, you know, how can we be closer to consumers at any given moment, to keep them aboard, to keep their attention.
Interesting. And zooming out towards, a wider trend, within the industry, how will the flight towards attention accelerate the ongoing shift that's occurring from linear towards CTV? Richard?
Yeah, good question. My guess is that attention is going to be looked at whether it's linear or CTV, right? Advertisers are going to want to know whether their TV ad or whether that's linear TV or CTV is effective. Obviously there are companies like T-Vision, which are obviously helping to understand the effectiveness of CTV ads. I think we'll start to see that shift. My guess is that people will probably be looking at that broadly rather than specifically CTV.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that, Richard. At UN we talk about, one AV, appreciating, the market is diversified. So, whether attention would accelerate a shift in investment towards CTV, I don't necessarily think it will be, the driving force. I think you've got this dynamic where fundamentally TV in all its forms is still one of the most effective channels at driving, long-term growth. We can see that from our own or third-party analytics or via the work of the IPA. One of the reasons for that is it does garner more attention. But I think, from a linear perspective, I think the problem for marketers is historically one of their best performing channels is losing audience, particularly at the younger end. So, what can they do to replace that reach? And that is having that diversified AV mix, including CTV. So it's about really going where the eyeballs are in a comparable environment, appreciating that there are some debates about, variance in program quality. But, Richard touched upon it earlier as well. There are some additional, CTV, enhancements, whether that's from a targeting or an ad format perspective that can be of value, but not always. And sometimes the increased costs associated with the platform or formats sometimes outweigh the benefit. So it's about identifying if the juice is worth the squeeze, really. But I think, going back to linear for a second, I think, speaking this week, it's quite interesting because, while audiences are declining and the headlines often make grim reading, the latest ones concerning Channel 4 job cuts, for example, I'd ask, has there been a better recent example of the power of TV than ITV's Mr. Bates versus the post office? Now, clearly it's drama, not advertising, but in our industry, we talk about changing behaviour, society, this is influencing lawmaking. So, it's absolutely fantastic. But I said about linear, to be completely candid, I binge watched it all on ITVX back to back, four episodes. So we're going back to CTV again.
But yeah, it's an interesting point you raise in terms of striking that balance and getting that mix right. We'll move on to another ongoing industry trend, and that's obviously the flight towards sustainability and how we can improve the carbon footprint of the advertising industry. My question to you guys is, how can optimizing towards attention help reduce the carbon impact of digital advertising efforts? Richard?
Yeah, I think attention metrics provide very good data to buyers, right? That an environment is effective, and then they can use this data to evaluate the sites and the inventory that they're buying. And as a result, what we should start to see then is more ad dollars flowing to high quality environments that are going to lead to better outcomes for the advertiser. And therefore, conversely, what we should see is then less spend on low quality sites that are cluttered with ads, and therefore, because they've got a far greater number of ads, they're making significantly more ad calls, right? Which is going to result in higher carbon footprint. So targeting high attention ad placements or environments is a good place to start to reduce the emissions that you're responsible for, but it's, I would say, it's not a long-term strategy. Brands who are actively looking to reduce their emissions need to start asking more questions of their agencies, and probably also themselves internally in terms of their teams and things like that, in terms of where their money is going, you know, auditing their programmatic buying to ensure the money is going going to the right environments, being spent in the right places, but also ensuring that they're working with partners who have strong sustainability credentials. You know, that's the long-term strategy there.
I mean, for me, I think it's reasonably straightforward, isn't it? That effectiveness, attention, sustainability, you know, they're happy bedfellows. You know, cleaner, less cluttered sites produce less emissions, should garner higher attention, which means more effective ads. More effective ads means less waste. And, you know, there've been huge number of studies, hasn't it, that shows the positive impact on attention optimized campaigns, on sustainability. You know, the huge amount of excess CO2 emissions from ads that are not seen long enough to drive impact. You know, it's akin to taking millions of cars off the road. So it shouldn't be underestimated. You know, effectiveness is the answer, not offsetting.
Absolutely. And we'll wrap up with final finding and final question. And obviously, start of January, it would be remiss not to talk about the deprecation of the third-party cookie, which is obviously set in full for Q3 this year. But we've already seen the 1% of Chrome users having Privacy Sandbox initiated and the cookie deprecated. It's kind of a broad question, but what is the role of attention within the post-cookie media mix, Richard?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and it'd be interesting to see what happens. My understanding is that most, if not all, of the verification platforms use third-party cookies, right, to provide viewability measurement. So it will be interesting to see how the industry transitions once third-party cookies have gone. My best guess is that it will drive more PMP activity from buyers, as they'll want to use more publisher data and publisher targeting to ensure that their ads are still in view and have the chance of being seen. And of course, with less ability to both target and directly measure how ads impact ROI, advertisers are going to have to find other proxies for performance, right? And attention can be a very helpful proxy for performance, since if you don't have the user's attention, then it can't possibly comprehend the advertising message. And that's really, I think, you know, necessary and critical for impacting purchase behavior, because that's what advertising is all about at the end of the day, right? Is changing behaviors. So I think there's two main ways that advertisers should think about attention, and that's targeting and measurement, right? Targeting to then understand what ad types and placements and enhancements, etc., have the greatest impact on your audience's attention, and then focus your media buyers on those types of placements. You know, as I mentioned, we've conducted a lot of research at ShareThrough to understand how even small enhancements to an ad can improve attention, like captions we spoke about and headlines and things. So, and advertisers can also use attention scores. They can utilize companies like Adelaide, and obviously goes beyond viewability. And then from a measurement point of view, there's a number of partners that exist to help measure the attention on everything from eye tracking. So again, working with someone like a Lumen or a Tobii, to brand lift studies that dive deeper into your audience and if they're paying enough attention to comprehend and remember your messaging.
Interesting. And Adam, what are your thoughts from the agency standpoint on the role of attention within that post-cookie media mix?
I mean, yeah, I'd agree to Richard. Attention, obviously, as it's been shown to have a correlation with brand and business metrics, it can increasingly play an important role in terms of how we optimize and measure the success of our media campaigns, as obviously we lose some of the more traditional traffic methods with third-party cookies. But, you know, aligned to the earlier discussion as well, it's not a panacea. It's one of many alternative solutions that need to be explored, such as, you know, increased use of first party, advanced analytics, probabilistic modeling, adaptive algorithms using, you know, media performance data, conversion or sales data, previous past campaign knowledge and performance context, just, you know, to measure, you know, where we're at. So absolutely, it can play a role. It will play a more important role, but it's no silver bullet.
Absolutely. And I think that's a fine note to wrap things up on. But guys, thank you ever so much. It's been a wonderful dive through the world of attention. And yeah, didn't necessarily think we'd be starting this one off with Churchillian quotes and post office dramas. But there we go. Richard, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thanks very much. Loved it. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Adam.
And Adam, thanks for joining us as well.
Cheers. Thanks. Enjoy the conversation.
Absolute pleasure. And thank you all ever so much for listening to this week's episode of the MadTech Podcast Special. Thank you.